If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. We will be in Acts chapter 8, the second part of it. As we have been moving from a look at Deacon Stephen and his life at the early church, how he was full of the Holy Spirit, full of what God had in store for him. The plan of God was unfolding through this man named Stephen. And yet we saw that this deacon was martyred for what he said. He enraged religious leaders. He enraged the crowds in the temple in Jerusalem. And whether it was by legal law or just by a mob and a riot, he was taken directly outside of the temple and stoned. And it says that same very day, the persecution of the church arose, and the church was scattered. And I believe that God is showing us that He is always fully in control of all things. That even through persecution here in Jerusalem, the church is going out and is going to spread. We looked in the life of Philip as he was led, I believe, by the Spirit, because Philip too was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led to the north in the beginning of this scattering, and he was going about preaching Jesus Christ to the area of Samaria, which is usually the place that was untouched by the Jews. They felt like Samaritans were less than people. People that could be disregarded and looked upon and frowned upon. And yet Philip was called to these people just as Jesus Christ was called to the Samaritans. If you remember, Jesus used the Samaritans in some of his stories. He talked about the Good Samaritan who took care of a man by the side of the road who was bruised and battered and beaten. When some of the religious leaders like Levi's passed right on by this man. He also visited Samaria and sat at a well and asked a Samaritan woman to give him some water from the well to serve him. And she did, and they started talking about worship. What is worship all about? So Jesus had a heart, and he shows that God has always had a heart for the nations. And especially that message is really important for what we have been seeing even in the news lately and what has been happening in our country is that God's heart loves all people. God's heart is for all nations. Whether we go out to those nations or whether the nations come here maybe to the University of Oregon or to Oregon State or they come here to live in Eugene or they come as travelers who want to get a little taste of what America is like and they're coming in from other countries and our call is for us to love the nations because God has a heart for the nations. And in this next section, we're going to read beginning in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and we're going to look as Philip was called to Samaria. And he preached the gospel, and he had some hostility from this magician named Simon. Well, he comes back now to Jerusalem, maybe to get encouraged, to get maybe a little bit of rest. Who knows? Don't know how extenuous and how hardworking his traveling was up to Samaria, but these were long journeys for these men. He comes back to Jerusalem, and he's resting, and as far as we know, he's ready. He's available. He's waiting to see where is the church going to go next. And what's amazing is Philip, I guess in the notes, he's titled the Acts 1:8 missionary. And if you don't know what Acts 1:8 says, you can turn back a few pages to read, but it reminds us that Jesus' plan for his followers was that they would begin in Jerusalem, they would go out to Judea and Samaria, and then it says, and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I want us to be reminded because what we're seeing here in Acts 8 and Acts 7 and Acts 6, this idea that the gospel is not just for the church in Jerusalem, not just for Hebrew Jews who spoke the national language, the gospel, the good news that Jesus had died for sin and was saving sinners, was for all people. And it started in Jerusalem, and I might have said this last week or 2 weeks ago. It's easy to say, well, this is great, this is good, let's stay in Jerusalem, let's have this huge church, let's just kind of stay where we believe God is blessing this holy city, this city of Jerusalem. And if you've ever been there, you can kind of sense that there is something very unique and holy and amazing about this chosen city that God put his hand upon, Jerusalem. And yet God didn't create a megachurch and create a giant entity that stayed in Jerusalem. He wanted the gospel of Jesus to be scattered. And it's, again, I reiterated, but it's not a scattering in the wind like fire ashes that just kind of disappear and you have no idea where they land. You don't see them anymore. This scattering of the church is like seed planted. And we talk about cultivating disciples here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And this is all about when we are scattered from Monday through Saturday, when the church is not here in the building but scattered, we are seeds that go out with the truth of God's word. We are a scattered people, not like ashes that just kind of disappear during the week, but we have the light of Christ within us as scattered seeds planting the truth of God in people's hearts. And like that message for us, we find that out of this scattering of the church out of Jerusalem, seeds were being planted. What we looked at in the beginning of chapter 8 was that Samaria was being planted with many seeds. The gospel was changing lives. It says there in 8 verse 8, there was much joy in that city. Cities were being changed. The attitude of a city was being changed. This is what God can do. And what only God can do is he can actually change the culture of a whole city. The attitude, the behavior, the look of a city. But not just a city. God can also use just one person to change the course of history. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is that when we are sent missionaries by God, we don't know the impact we might have in just affecting one person. So the question, again, I want to ask you again, and I've asked a few times, but who are you praying for? Who is that one person on your mind? Maybe it's here at the school. Maybe it's someone you connect with regularly in the community. Maybe it's even someone that's on your heart here in the church that you are praying for. Who is that one person that you feel God is leading you that may change the course of history? In Seattle, as just a volunteer leader for me, I was able to go and visit people in coffee shops and people in Target and downtown Target and downtown stores. And it was always important for me to think, okay, I work at this place and I always go to this coffee shop next to my work and I know these baristas. I know them by name now. And she's talked a lot about spiritual things. Maybe God's directing me to her, to encourage her, to even ask her, Why do you discuss this stuff? Well, God put that barista on my heart, and by God's grace, she knew a ton of friends. And through the influence of just one person at a coffee shop, she became an influence to a whole group of her friends, a whole group of people that she worked with, that she knew. And I don't say that because it's about me at all. I say that because I had no idea how God would use just one person to impact a whole group of people. And only he does that. And maybe it just begins with us going up and saying, how's your day been? What's going on? I hear you talking about these things. And that's kind of what we're going to see today, is this evangelist, Philip. He kind of begins by asking the question, what's going on? What are you doing? So let's read Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and we'll finish down at 40. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he arose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? There's a question. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that was being read was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. Philip and the eunuch, I'm sorry, I think I just skipped. See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And the ESV doesn't have 37 in there, but some of your Bibles might have 37. It's down at the bottom for the ESV translation. 37 says, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let me pray as we read scripture and as we begin this sermon. Lord, you are a good God. Your word directs our hearts to the truth about your heart, God, that you love the nations, that you have called us as missionaries sent by God, and that, Lord, maybe we sometimes focus on a people group or a country or a large amount of people. But today, your text shows us that you have a heart, too, for the individual, for that one person. Lord, maybe this is a time where we lift up prayers to you for that one name that comes to our mind, for that one person that we have been praying for, that we want to see come to know Jesus Christ, that we want to invite into the family of God here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Lord, just give us even an opportunity, if we don't know who that one is, help us to begin praying for that, to begin asking that you would open up a conversation so that we, like Philip, could speak to them about who Jesus Christ is. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, four things this morning is that I just want us to see four traits of what these missionaries sent by God, who they are, these four traits of what those kind of missionaries are. And the first is that a missionary loves God. Second, a missionary loves people. It's pretty simple. Third, a missionary preaches Jesus Christ. And fourth, I believe we'll see at the very end that a preacher, or a missionary, stays and remains humble. In all that God might show him and in the opportunities and the conversations he might have, he still remains a servant of the Lord. He stays humble. The first two, love God and love others, comes out of course, a familiar passage, Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. This is those asking Jesus a question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Isn't that amazing that Jesus, in his wisdom, when asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest thing?" Jesus sums up the whole Old Testament law by saying it revolves around two things: loving God and loving your neighbor, loving others. When God set out to create the law for his people, for the people of Israel, those were the two areas that he was most concerned with. First off, their devotion and singularity to the Lord God, the Father who created all things. I mean, we think maybe we're in a different age. Back then, there were lots of other gods being worshipped, lots of other things created by hand. But that still is the message we have to hear, is that God desires his worship alone. Because right now in our culture, there's all kinds of things that pull and call for our attention and desire our hearts. It may not be a graven image or something made with hands. It could be something as easy as the green money that goes in our wallets. Or the beautiful Autzen Stadium that was erected in Eugene. Or I think even something that can tear us away and take tons of our attention is these wonderful TVs that are in our homes. There are so many things, so many ways in which we can develop more time and more time and more time. And our culture is making it easier and easier for us to get access to all of these things. And a missionary has to begin here with the love of God and the love of people. Philip was a man full of the Holy Spirit. It says that God was doing signs and wonders through him. That when he spoke to these people, even as we saw before in Samaria, that he had their attention. That they listened to him. That they wanted to hear what was he preaching? Who was this Jesus Christ? He had the gift of evangelism. And again, we see that his heart just continues to beat in this same way. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ. And how does a missionary love God? Well, here Philip shows us that he, first off, is available. Philip makes himself available for whatever is dearest to his heart. It says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. An angel just shows up. I mean, we haven't seen this. But in those days, God did miraculous things to direct his people. And he sent one of his messengers, that's just another name for angel. He sent God's messenger to Philip and said, "Rise up and go." Philip was available. He could have said, oh, really? Like, I have a meeting with someone, or my family vacation is just about to come. We got all these plans in my household. Can you come back a little bit later, angel? That wasn't Philip. He was available. He was willing and flexible to be able to be used by God. And I speak this for myself because I think our schedules just so easily get filled up. I guess as I was speaking earlier, we go to a coffee shop. I go to a coffee shop. I get my coffee and I'm like, okay, I got to be somewhere else. That's a sad predicament, even of the fact that I don't even have 5 to 10 minutes to chat or to have a conversation with the person making my cup of coffee, to be relational. So often it's, well, I can't get behind on my schedule, or I have an appointment I have to run to. And we've lost some of that space in life to engage with others, to have conversations. Our availability has become less and less and less. Or at least for me, I need to learn from some of you who feel like you have plenty of time. I'm the one who sometimes feels like my schedule has filled up. And of course, I always tell you, if you come and you visit or you call, sometimes you say, I know you're busy, and I just want you to know right now, I don't like that word. I am never busy for people. There's always office things to do. There's always administrative things. There's always emails or whatever. But God has called us to be people who engage with people. So I want you to know I'm never busy for you to come and stop or call and have a conversation. Because to me, God has put me here to be a shepherd, not of pieces of paper and of black ink, but a shepherd of people and a carer of people. And so you have the ability, you have the time. If you need to talk to me, I'm okay dropping office things so that I can engage with people. But that is hard even for me. The schedules. Oh, well, I got a schedule and I got this and I got... Philip is available to do God's work, to minister to this Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip says he rises and he goes because the angel of the Lord told him to. So the second thing about Philip's love for God, it results in obedience to God. Obedience and a listening ear. He was listening for what the Lord had to say. I mean, it's a little hard. You can't really miss if an angel of the Lord comes and visits, you're going to listen. But how often are we just kind of drowned out in our days, and our busyness prevents us from sitting down, or maybe even in our car, just taking a breath and saying, Lord, what do I need to hear today? What does your word teach me today? Have I opened his word today to listen? We're not just available, but we're willing to listen. And Philip hears what the angel is saying to him. Rise and go. And he doesn't even know. He's kind of almost in many ways like the illustrations of the Old Testament, like Abraham and Moses, who were told, in many ways, even more information, I want you to go, and this is what I am going to do through you, Moses. I want you to go, Abraham, and this is what I am going to do. I'm going to make you a great nation. But all Philip is told is rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Okay? Just go, Philip. Trust me and go. And it's not obedience. It's not obedience to the Lord that leads to loving the Lord. That can be exhausting. That can be tiring. That can be, have I done enough obedience? It's the love of God that leads to listening, to obedience. Knowing what he has done for us already, knowing what he has done in the past for the people of God, all of that love leads to obedience. So a missionary loves God. He makes himself available. Just like I need to be making myself available, especially for you all, don't think that I won't drop something so that I can make myself available to you. But Philip listens and he goes. He doesn't even know what is on the road to Gaza, but the angel tells him, rise up and go. Secondly, a missionary loves people. So he rose up and went, verse 27, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So here was a man coming from Africa, from Ethiopia, and he was a worshiper of God, coming up to Jerusalem. I don't know if he brought a large train with him of people and caravans, or if he just came alone. The text seems like this was his personal, individual trek to Jerusalem for the worship of God. But here was a man from Africa, from Ethiopia, very different than Jerusalem, very different settings, very different culture, maybe very different way of looking at things and acceptance. And I think even for Philip to say, I'm here for this Ethiopian eunuch, it reminds us, like we said, that God loves all people. He has a heart for all nations, for all cultures, for all tribes. And Philip is just following what the Lord tells him. And I love this. He doesn't know where the Lord is leading him, but he's listening and he's going down the road. And now at this stage, okay, do you see that stage, that caravan traveling? Go to that caravan. He goes over, and what does he hear? So he loves people, but he loves people enough to listen. He knows that God loves all people, but he also loves people enough to listen to the person. So important for my own heart, especially knowing, you know, I might have shared in the past that someone said, I talk too much. And that doesn't go well for someone who's up here preaching. Okay, yeah, you do talk a lot, but that means I have more and more to need to use these two gifts from the Lord, my ears, to ask a question and to listen. But here Philip is listening. He's running up to the caravan and he's hearing. What is he hearing? The reading of the prophet Isaiah. It says, Philip ran to this caravan and heard him reading Isaiah and asked. So he's not just willing to love people, to follow God, to listen to what this man is doing, but he's going to engage the person. He listens, he engages, and then he asks a question. Do you understand what you are reading? That makes sense, right? It's kind of like asking someone who makes coffee, teach me a little bit more about coffee. I need to learn. Or someone who's at the grocery store, do you like working at the grocery store? How long have you been working here at the grocery store? Do you live here in this area? Questions that just kind of make sense. And he hears this man reading Isaiah, and so the question pops up. Do you understand what you're reading? What does the Ethiopian eunuch say? How can I unless someone guides me? And so what happens is Philip is asked, will you come and join me in this chariot, in this caravan, and help guide me in this passage? So Philip, he's just going down a road, and then God has a mission for him. See that caravan? I want you to go to the caravan. Then he hears the scripture being read. He asks a question, and then it unfolds where God apparently wants this Philip to sit in the chariot with this Ethiopian eunuch to explain the scriptures. I love what the eunuch says. How can I understand this unless someone guides me? This reminds me of John chapter 16 and 17, where the Holy Spirit is described as one who guides us into all truth. The eunuch is absolutely right. You open the Bible and it's just words. I pray that's not true for any of you in this room. If you just open the Word of God and all you read is words. And if that's true, you need to say, Spirit, guide me into the truth. And that's what this eunuch is asking Philip. I need someone to guide me into what this is saying. How can I understand if I don't have a guide? Philip becomes the servant of the Lord in this situation where he is the guide for this man, for this eunuch from Ethiopia. So, Philip is willing to sit in this caravan, to sit alongside, to help this eunuch understand Isaiah 53. A missionary loves God. A missionary loves people to the point where they're willing to sit next to someone. They're willing to go with someone. They're willing to jump in the car with someone. They're willing to do what someone likes to do, to sit with them and to understand where their life is. And God has given us the Spirit maybe to help someone else be guided into truth. So Philip, he probably jumps in this chariot and finds what he's reading Isaiah 53, the very chapter of Isaiah that highlights Jesus Christ, that talks of Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah 53. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The passage here is Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8. And we see that there's a problem. This man does not understand what he is reading. He's blind. I pray that your eyes have been opened to know Isaiah 53 speaks of the Savior, Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. But this problem is given a solution. What does Philip do in verse 34 or 35? He opens his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. He began right where this man was reading, right in the situation that God had given to him. He's going right through this amazing prophetic chapter of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. And Philip is like, I can start right at Jesus Christ. He's right here where this man is reading. I don't have to explain to him much more. He starts right in Isaiah 53, and it says he tells him the good news of Jesus. And I kind of wish we had been able to sit in on that conversation. Well, how did Philip do this? I need some tips. I'd like to know how Philip engaged with this Ethiopian unit. Did he ask more questions? How did he kind of like unpack Isaiah 53? Maybe that would help me know how to converse with others better. We don't know that. Because I think God has gifted each one of you to engage and sit with other people in very different ways. And yet we have the Word of God. Here this man is reading Isaiah 53. We have the whole scripture to be able to open up and unpack for anyone who's asking questions. It's a good reminder for us that we have to be in God's Word. So he proclaims to him the good news. This is not just advice. This isn't just a suggestion. We don't go to others and say, let me tell you the good suggestion I have for you. Let me tell you my good advice about Jesus Christ. The Bible's very clear with its words. It calls it good news. It happened. It's an historical event. It has a date to it because it's news. Let me tell you about this event that happened. His name was Jesus Christ, and he went to the cross. Because we're not giving out advice, we're not giving out suggestions, we have good news to tell. And some of the translations, at least ESV, puts the verse 37 at the bottom of the passage, because some manuscripts have that verse and some manuscripts don't. But I think that verse is so important. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may, and he's talking about being baptized. And this is so important. We ask those who desire baptism, do you believe in the name of the Father and of the Son and of Jesus Christ? And have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Philip makes it personal to this eunuch. Our faith is a personal faith. The beginning of Acts showed that Jesus Christ was being preached to the cities and the masses. Here at the end of Acts, we see Jesus Christ being preached to one Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip says, do you believe? Do you believe? Again, it's that act of faith that I'm going to lean fully upon something. And if it doesn't hold me up, I'm falling over. And this is what belief, it's that understanding that I'm putting all of my weight onto something. I'm trusting fully in this, that Jesus Christ saves. Philip asked this eunuch, is that what is going on here? Do you believe in Jesus as Savior? He does. And they find some water in this desert land, which probably was very difficult. And the first thing they thought is, I want to be baptized. I want to be associated with Jesus Christ in this act of baptism. So a missionary loves God, a missionary loves others, a missionary preaches Christ, and lastly, a missionary stays humble. Why do I say stays humble? Well, interestingly enough, if you read at the very end, Philip baptizes him, which the word there means to put him in the water, and it says right as the eunuch comes up, Philip is taken away, carried away to Azotus, which is, so he's going south out of Jerusalem. Azotus is a city to the northwest of Jerusalem. So it's at least in the hundreds of miles, just carried away. Why? I mean, I don't want to just say because God can do whatever he wants to do. But there might have been a really important reason for Philip to be in Azotus. On his way up to the north Caesarea city. Could it have been too that this eunuch needed some confirmation, some supernatural sign of where'd he go? This could only be something that God could have done. I always think of this statement, you never know when you might be entertaining someone that God has sent, an angel or a messenger from the Lord. And some of you might even have stories. This person came in and shared this, and I've never seen him again. I believe God is still doing supernatural things. And here this eunuch is part of that. I don't even know. Maybe he saw him go away. Maybe it was instantaneous. But what this reminds me is that a missionary's work is to preach Christ and then get out of the way. It's not about me as a preacher. It's not about missionaries. It's not about us as those who share Christ with others. It's about who we are sharing, Jesus Christ. And quite obviously, Philip got right out of the way. He was gone. This eunuch didn't have Philip anymore, and it says he went back to his country in Ethiopia rejoicing. And I don't know if you know, but the Ethiopian religious tradition is that this witness here in Acts 8 is what brought Christianity down to Ethiopia. What brought the religion of Christianity down was this witness of Philip and the eunuch. And so, again, that story, we never know what God might do with just one person who comes to know Jesus, goes back to his people, and shares what God has done in his life to those around him. Maybe in the singles, maybe in the double digits. Who knows how God is going to use even just one person. But a missionary is willing to do God's work, preach Jesus Christ, and then get out of the way. You know, even like the baptism, that, you know, Philip said, yeah, let's get baptized, but the river, the water might have been cold, it might have been stale and still and muddy and dank and disgusting, but either way, it was an inconvenience for Philip. Yeah, let's do this, though, but he didn't care. This man was trusting in Jesus Christ. He was willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of the gospel. He was willing to be taken out of the way, literally, for the gospel. And it says at the very end, so he finds himself in Azotus, and as he passed through he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. He just kept doing what he was doing. God had given him this gift of speaking of Jesus Christ to all people. He's even transported out. And what does he do? He just continues to proclaim Jesus Christ. Because I think Philip understood that we are all servants of the King. That we are not kings in and of ourselves, trying to establish our kingdoms or our thrones or our messages. We have one message to give out because God is King. And when others might praise us, yeah, you can say thank you. But all glory needs to go to the Lord who has saved us. We have become his servants. A missionary loves God, loves him enough to listen, to obey, to follow. A missionary loves people, all people. Even someone that we would say they don't deserve grace. Well, God showed Philip this man, the Ethiopian eunuch. A missionary preaches Jesus Christ. This is the one message we have for others. And a missionary remains humble. If the Lord wants to use us more, if he wants to take us somewhere else, if he wants to put us in an inconvenient situation so that we can share Jesus Christ, he is the King and we are his servants. Isn't this good news this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, you are the one who is directing this man, Philip. Your spirit is inside of him. And Jesus Christ left us with a promise that the Spirit is given to us for those who trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, if there is anyone in this room who is lost in darkness or is confused or is wondering what is in this scripture, I need someone to guide me through it. I pray that you would use those of us who have your Spirit in us to guide others that we come in contact with into the truth, to show them the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not a suggestion or it's not vice. It actually happened. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again and has defeated sin and he's defeated death. And he will one day defeat Satan. We serve a living, risen Savior. Amen.